The problem is if you go through your life at a million miles an hour, you miss those things. You miss those little subtleties that you're never, ever going to get back. Ever. For what?
Welcome to Someone Like You, a podcast that highlights the experiences of women, immigrants, and people of color who are building empires, creating amazing things, and changing the world. Here, we celebrate underrepresented stories and unheard voices. Tony Arvey is a father, husband, and owner of Antonio Arvey Plastering, a construction company that specializes in high-end, multi-million dollar custom homes for the likes of Bruce Willis, Will Smith, and Robert Downey Jr. He's also my stepdad, who gave me a daily dose into the life of an entrepreneur. On this episode, we talk about Mexican culture, integrity, prioritizing time over money, and putting family first as a business owner.
When you were a little kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
FBI agent.
What did you like about that?
My dad was one. His stories he told, it seemed not like a normal 9-to-5 job, and a lot of wit, a lot of perseverance to go through some of the things they go through. And you don't hear when you see your dad come home and they're visibly upset and you're little, their success rate is very low. And it was hard on them, yeah. You know? And I liked it. I thought it was interesting.
So I want to talk a little bit more about your family. Your mom is one of the most amazing people I've ever met.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. What are your favorite things about your mom?
My favorite thing about her is how she's always been able to be happy 100%, and no matter what the circumstances are. You know, everybody gets circumstances that affect them in one way or another, and her, she's always amazingly happy and always looks forward to tomorrow. Well, that's pretty genuine, because I don't have that skill at all. And neither does most people in her family. They're very religious. Her mom, I think, was like that. Lost a lot of kids, 5, 6, 8 kids, you know, and was always just God-fearing people, you know. They're genuine.
What are some of the things that your mom taught you that have influenced you today, or your grandmother?
On my mom's side? Yeah. On my father's side, I didn't learn much from them. I have, but not so. Toughness, honesty, brutal honesty, integrity that I can't even tell you. That's what the word means. What the word means isn't what you say it means. When you hear integrity, and my mom tells you, she is the real deal. So, and my grandmother is too. Hey, my grandfather, the women of my mom's family are brilliant and strong and have everything guys talk about that they have. They have. Is that weird to say that?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Cool. Really?
Yeah.
But that's what they have.
So, you spent your summers growing up on your grandparents' ranch in New Mexico. How did that experience shape you?
Wow. I talk about it a lot with your mom. Just their strength. They were violent, and their word was their word. It's just, and it was at 10, that was hard to understand for me. And you don't share stuff when you're 10 with your brother or sister, like, hey, was that really strange when you saw that? I realized it when I got older that they were aggressive. they were aggressive. Mm-hmm. I mean, beyond, I lived in Simi where it's all white. Everybody's white. And I didn't fit in right well. And my brother did, but not really either. Even I think that's what made us exceptional here is like they liked us because we were kind of aggressive. But they're really aggressive there to where they'll scream and yell and fight you. And I'm going to exaggerate, but it would be violent. And then at dinner, they'd be having dinner together and they love each other. Mm-hmm. And it's an awkward place to be if you don't understand that culture. So you might be an outsider and pointing at it and go, wow, that's, you know, you can judge them from that culture, but they're as loyal as fuck. Mm-hmm. They love you more than anything because you're family. Hispanics' love is forever. Forever. So no matter what, you can be a felon if you want, but they'll admit you're a felon, but they'll love you. They'll give their life for you, mm-hmm. which is weird. It's hard to, hey, can I say something real quick? I know this is just a weird interview or whatever. So I didn't know what that meant. I always thought that was bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll give my life for you. I'll stand. That's something you know when you have kids.
Yeah.
Will you do it for your spouse? I don't know. I hope I would. I don't know. I mean, you've seen how brave I am. Shit. For your child, you know, so I get that for your child, but mothers are, you know, I questioned my grandfather if he would, or my father, I know wouldn't, but my mom, I know would. I know would. Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about the experience, growing up and seeing you being all white as a Mexican boy and a Mexican family. What was that like? Did you think about it at the time? Did you think about it later?
I only thought about it a little bit when I saw my mom being mistreated. I mean, the first day of school, I got in a fight with a guy who said something about my mom. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom had broken English. And Simi had a lot of Mexicans just at our area and school, you know, which is your world. We were the only ones. And you know, we're divorced, you know. And your mom don't speak great English. So I can remember things that happened with my mom I thought was really unfair. And that we've voiced our, you know, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I don't know. That's all I can really say. My mom taught us not to care about that shit. She taught us not to, to just be better than everybody and stronger than everybody. And will yourself that they, you don't care. Is that a good answer?
Yeah, it's an honest answer.
Okay.
So you talked about getting in a fight on your first day of school. You have a bit of a rebellious streak in some ways, I think, in your personality.
Yeah.
Have you always had that?
Yes.
And where do you think that comes from?
My mom's family.
Yeah.
They're my grandmother's half Apache Indian.
Yeah.
They don't fuck around with anything. You know, you hear like songs about people who are really tough or people that are, they are tough.
Yeah.
And they don't bend a knee very easily to anybody. And I think it was that. And I think it was some insecurity. And, you know, I didn't have a father. So my brother had him a little longer than me and I didn't have anyone to lean to except my mom. So yeah, them.
So, growing up in Simi, I know your mom worked several jobs as a single mother, really model hard work for you. At that time, did you aspire for wealth? Like, did you care about money? Did you care about giving back and helping out your mom? Like, what were your aspirations when you were younger?
Wow, that's a good question. No, none of those. I wanted to be a professional surfer. That's what I wanted to be. That's what I wanted to be. No, I just, I wanted to be able to help my mom.
Yeah.
I always thought that was really important. And I wanted to be able to help my sisters.
Yeah.
I have two younger sisters, you know them. And you know, not having a dad's hard enough for an 8-year-old boy. I can't even imagine. My sister Sabrina never even knew him. He was gone before she was born. So I wanted to be there for them. It meant a lot to me that I was, and that they at least acknowledge it sometimes when they're not mad at me or something.
So how did that transition? It seems like you've always known how to make money. You know, you worked really hard. You know, Bob's Big Boy or whatever jobs. Did that come naturally? That instinct to make money?
No, just hard work goes as far as you can take it. And, you know, I tend to side on employer side more than employee side sometimes, because I've employed lots of people. And most employees expect more than what we were taught to expect. Mm-hmm. We expected nothing. We expected, what do you want me to do? And I'll do it. And I was just good at it. I think it's just, I have a family of ditch diggers, and the best ditch diggers. So I think that's just genetics, and that's what's expected of you. Hey, in the Mexican culture, at least the culture I came from, when you're 4 or 5 years old, you're not walking around with one of those little sucky things kids suck on. You're out in the field picking cotton, picking corn. You're out there feeding the lambs, watching the cows, cattle. You're out there working, and the girls are out there working too, doing the same shit. So, you know, it's not like it is today. So yeah, that's our family works hard. And if you work hard, nonstop work hard. And two, if you don't lie, then you have integrity. You can only be prosperous. You might not have wealth, but you'll be prosperous, you know? And maybe if you're good enough at that, you can teach your kids and put them through things you didn't get, and they'll be wealthy. That's my shot. If I'm not going to be there, I'm already way better than my mother as far as wealth and as far as what I was able to do. And it's the time too. And my son, I hope, if not him, his kids.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. When you think back on generations from, you know, your grandparents on their ranch and the at times extreme poverty they've dealt with, or their depression, to your mom, you know, working for you four to just give you some opportunities and food on the table. And then you've all become successful, and now your son, you're able to put him through college.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
I want to cry every time I think about it. That's how it feels. It feels like, that's what I try to tell people. I always, you know, I have guys who work for me. They're what would you give me some advice? Mm-hmm. And work your ass off for your kids. That's what my family does. We don't think of glory. We don't think of my boss has to like me. These builders sold me out. They got somebody cheaper. Mm-hmm. They don't think like that. They think, my family, where's my son going to be in 20 years when I'm gone? That's all I care about.
Yeah.
Nothing more. If nobody likes me, if everybody thinks I'm a piece of shit, I'm not. So here's two things. Well, some people care what people think about them. Mm-hmm. I don't. I care what I think about me the most.
Yeah.
And my son, you, your mom, I care what they think about me. But I care about what I think about me first.
Yeah.
And I don't give a shit what I am. I don't give a shit anything about me. I don't care if I'm living underneath the freeway. If my son's life is great, whatever happens, I'll be happy. Yeah. It's kind of simple. Sorry.
No, it's great. And those are a few things I wanted to touch on. You've always taught me the value of time. Really, even more than money, you know, you prioritize that, whether that was working as hard as you could to leave work early, like work smarter, not harder, or just being home, you know, when we all got home from school. Where did that value of time come from?
When Eric's mom died. I didn't want to miss one set. Oh, when Eric was born.
Yeah.
Hey, man, kids are weird. It's a, you know, I didn't have a father, and I postponed being a father because I was terrified I'd be shitty at it. And I didn't want to be shitty at it. And then my first wife, I felt like I owed it to her to be, all right, you know, we're 30, she's 34, I'm 35, you know. Back then, everybody was having kids at 23 or 24. Mm-hmm. And so, okay. And I'm glad I did, because she died 4 months after Eric was born. So that,
yeah,
that slammed me, but Eric slammed me. He slammed me. So I don't care. I'm going to spend every minute I can. I see people that want to get rich and they want to have stuff, and I don't care about stuff, you know, and I'm stunned people care about stuff when they have kids, because you just got the best stuff in the world. Don't miss it. You can have a heart attack at 39, 40. You're going to go, fuck, I wish I would have spent more time with my son, instead of I need to have, I don't know, an awesome retirement plan. Retirement plans are bitching. You know, you need that. But I'd rather spend every second I could with my kids and my family. I was blessed because I was 35 and I was able to work. And, you know, I already had a house and I had savings and, you know, I had things. But, yeah, my son was born and I was a changed man. I was totally different. And then my wife died, which made me even more different.
Yeah.
And I met your mom. She made me even more different. Mm-hmm. You know, no, you understand what I mean? The problem is if you go through your life at a million miles an hour, you miss those things. You miss those little subtleties that you're never, ever going to get back.
Yeah.
Ever. For what? For overtime money or the big job in Atlanta? I know you got to have those, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't care. So
as you built your business, how did that influence the decisions that you made along the way, the jobs that you would take, or, you know, how big you chose to grow, how many people you wanted to bring on?
You know, what's funny is I wasn't going to be this until Eric was born. I was, you know, I was going to school kind of half-ass, but I knew I was going to try to be in politics. I loved politics back then. Mm-hmm. I was going to be something else. I was just so good at this. And one thing led to another. I had 3 guys working and then 10 guys working. And then when my son was born, I realized I can take time off. I can take him to school every day, mm-hmm, and pick him up from school. And that's, you know, that's what helped. And I'm not greedy. You know, I don't want riches.
Yeah.
I want my family and I want them healthy. And if I know that and I die at 59, I'm cool.
Yeah.
When Eric was born and when I met your mom, I wanted your mom to have things and I worked hard for her. I want her to have things. I don't, you know me. I mean, what do I want? I don't want anything. I want to be healthy. I want to be able to watch Boston win a championship or two, work out, go to the beach, and have everybody over here, even though I'm, you know, freaked out about it because it's a lot of people. I still like it.
Yeah.
And I know it's good for me.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
As your business kind of happened organically, what have been some of the challenges of being a business owner?
Oh my God, really? Fuck, where do you start there? One is the state of California. They're not business friendly at all. I feel like they're the mafia. And I'm afraid to open my mail,
yeah,
because they dictate everything and they give nothing. And can I say fuck? They don't fuck around when it comes to taxes. I mean, it's due, you know, not just my taxes, my guys' taxes, you know, it's just hard. That, you know, that is the, they're the biggest obstacle. You got to figure out the rules, and then they change the rules on you. Every year they change the rules on you. So, you know, that just the basically the state, I can deal with people pretty much pretty easy. I can deal with losses. I can deal with, you know, those kind of things that kind of impact me that way. It's just stuff that's out of your control. That's really hard. You know, I'm a contractor. I've been doing it forever. I don't have one claim on my contractor's license. And when I got reviewed to the review board, they, the lady made a statement about it because I've never seen anybody who's had this. I was stunned at that answer.
Yeah.
I said, are you kidding me? I thought everybody would.
Right.
So it's just, you know, I just care, I guess. I mean, I really do. I just care.
Yeah.
You know? So my mom always said this, okay? Clean your room, take care of your shit, and then go try to help your neighbors first. Don't try to impact the world first when you're trying, when your fucking room is a pigsty. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, fix you first.
Yeah.
Before you want to take on the world's problems, fix you first and then maybe go fix it. That's my mom's philosophy. Then maybe work on your neighbor and maybe, and that's the way my business is. Mm-hmm. You know, I have so many obstacles in my business. Lazy employees, overpaid employees. Hey, just for anybody who has employees, you know that if you have real employees, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. And then there's that 25% who earn for everybody.
Yeah.
And how can I make them stay? Because they're going to go off on their own like you did. Mm-hmm. How can I give her more money or give them more money? You can't. You know, and you know, the sad part is I don't mean like employees are lazy. I don't understand how you just show up at 7 and leave at 3 and you don't make your boss any money. That's your job.
Yeah.
Your job is to make him money. You have freedom to say, I don't want this job. I pay pretty well. You know, I mean, I pay real pretty well. I even have these conversations like I'm their father, like, dude, maybe you're not in the right business. Mm-hmm. And most guys, they're going to go to work and they're going to look at their text messages and emails and they're going to give you 5 hours and they're going to stay till 8. And that sounds mean. But I, in my 30 something years of employing people, and all my friends across the board are self-employed, almost all of them, they'll tell you the same story. 25% of my people make me money.
Yeah.
Because they're just good. And then they quit and they go out on their own, like you.
How do you find those 25%?
Sometimes they find you. Yeah. Sometimes you're really good and they know it and they try to get on board. And, that's the only way. And then you just keep your eyes peeled. This is what I think a lot of people don't get is I believe most employers give a shit about who works for them. I think most of them do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a farce when people say, oh, well, you're working all this and he don't care. He cares.
Yeah.
But you got to care too. You know, it's, you know, so my philosophy is if I'm good, I'm better than everybody. There's nobody better than me. There's nobody better than me. And everybody knows it. Everybody who knows this business, what I'm in, knows it. And the guys that are really good want to work for me. That's how.
How did you build that reputation? With, you know, you built your business, consistent work, just ongoing success without ever marketing. Did the work just speak for itself? Like, how did you build that reputation?
Yes. I wanted to be the best. You know how we are. Yeah. We'll fucking play a quarter game on the floor and we want to win. It's funny. I was talking to a guy who works for me. He was asking me, what would your advice be? And I was like, dude, first I'd move and I'd get another trade. You're not good enough.
Yeah.
You got to be good. You got to be good and your resume has got to be off the chart. And not just that, you have to be hardworking. And you can't lie because your character is everything, everything. And I had a guy tell me once who kind of one of the first guys who gave me a break, not the first guy, right, Les? But he's up there, Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my wife on there. She's not Mike, but I heard him talking to somebody and he says, you know, all I want is someone to call me back and give me the bad news.
Yeah.
Everybody's afraid to give bad news. Call me back, give me the bad news. And that's what I started doing right away.
Yeah.
Calling people back. Here's the bad news. And don't lie. I lie. And I try my best not to. And I hate lying in front of my family. I go in the garage because they know where I'm going. Oh, Dad's going to go lie. And it's only because there's a time I had a lot of guys working. Yeah. And somebody can get arrested for a drunk driving or something.
Yeah.
You understand? And you, I'm uncomfortable telling I don't tell personal stuff to people. Oh, sorry, he's not here.
Yeah.
He was caught urinating behind the police station, but there's a bar there and they arrested him. Oh, you know, so I don't tell him that. Hey, he's not feeling well.
Yeah.
So that kind of shit. But yeah, I think be brave and tell the truth. And if you tell the truth, it's really easy to do because then they know you.
Yeah.
And that's everything in business. If people trust you and they know you and sometimes you hit it big, sometimes you make great money and sometimes you break even, but it's the relationship that means more to me because I'd rather have a mediocre, a great relationship and make mediocre money. But I had mediocre money from this one guy for 30 years, but he trusts me. He doesn't look at anybody else. I take that over a piece of shit that gives me one job because I was low or for whatever. And then I never see him again. So that's all. And every builder I have, I've had for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I turn them down because I don't know them and I don't trust them.
Yeah.
And I don't need more money. I mean, of course we need more money, but I don't need more money. So there you go. Hey, that's a really good, for the record.
That's really good.
Yeah. I mean, this Eric Friedman told me that. Call me right away. Don't lie to me and give me the bad news. I'm a grown up. I've been through this forever. There's more bad news than there is good. I never get a text message. Look at my phone. And it's never like, hey, wonderful job. I'm jogging over right now. My son's going over there to give you a check. It's never that. It's always bad news.
Yeah.
It's always bad news. If you don't hear shit from them, that's great news. Everything's going great. So yeah, be honest. Don't fucking lie. Everybody fucking lies. My guys lie over something stupid. And I look at them like, you're going to ruin your reputation with me over that? Just tell me the truth. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. So that's good for anybody. If you have kids, tell them that because not enough parents tell their kids not to stop fucking lying. Look, my kid lies through his fucking teeth, and I'm on him all the fucking time. Anyways, that's it.
So I finish up every interview with a lightning round. So just the first thing that comes to your head.
Okay.
What scares you?
My losing someone.
What are you most proud of?
My family.
When are you at your best?
When I'm around my family.
How do you define success?
When my family loves me.
And how do you want to be remembered?
I just want my family to be happy when they think about me when I'm gone. Hey, look, it's very simple. I know it's a lightning round. I don't have these highlight reel of the person you probably interview. I don't care. There you go. Is that it?
If you enjoyed this episode, stay tuned for more to come or visit LizMarieStrategy.com for more resources, stories, and insights for creatives and entrepreneurs.